see where that comes from. So again, we return to our fluid element. And think about if within this element is a small is a density, we have a density and pressure that are equal to some background volume shared throughout the fluid plus a small perturbation both in both. So there's a little bubble. Not a bubble, but just a little shake in the fluid. So then we ask what happens. So we just know from the conservation of mass that so the background, the parts that are just background will drop out because we're just going to assume that the fluid as a whole, so this is these quantities, so they obey the gas equation or the fluid equations by themselves, and so that part's zero, so then we just end up delta Vt. A perturbed, and then. No, this is wrong. Let me start again. My notation is so. Okay. So, does it take rho equals rho naught plus delta rho and. What I said before was incorrect. Let me just say it correctly. So what we're gonna say is that not that this obeys the equation separately. That was what we're going to say is this is a fixed background. This is a fixed background value. So change of rho zero is zero. And a gradient of rho zero is zero, separate. And so the gradient of rho zero in direction v is also rho zero. Here. Does this make sense now? So this part goes away, and then so we have basically time derivative of the perturbation of rho plus rho zero times divergence of the velocity plus divergence of delta rho velocity equal to zero. Now, if we assume delta rho over rho zero much less than one, and that the only source of velocity comes from these small changes, we're also going to have the velocity is sort of much less than one. That is, velocity is a small number. So the point is that if this is a small number, and this is a small number, this is a small number times a small number. Whereas there's one small number here and one small number here. So these are first order in small numbers, and this is second order in small numbers. And so for our first approximation, we're going to go ahead and neglect that term. And we get an equation for the time evolution of the perturbation in density is going to be equal to the background density times minus the gradient, or the divergence of the velocity. That's our first equation. And so then the second equation we do is we can go back to Euler's equation. And then again, plugging in, so the velocities are all small. So this term's going to be small. And here, again, the gradient of P0 will take P0. This is going to be minus the gradient of delta P, and it'll be divided by rho 0 plus delta rho. But again, you can ignore this part, because if we go ahead and expand the denominator, So this delta rho will generate only a term, second order in small quantities. So we can drop it. Yeah, you're good. Thank you. So the last, so basically it's now the change in velocity minus gradient, the perturbation in pressure added by the background rate. So now we have two equations relating velocity. We're going to assume we know the background density. It's not going to end up mattering, but we'll just say we know the background density. So we have two equations and three unknowns. We don't know the velocity. We don't know the perturbation in rho. We don't know the perturbation in p. So we need one more equation. And so that. And usually, so in general in fluid mechanics, this is going to happen. You get to some point and the equations don't close. You always need one more equation. That equation is usually called the equation of state. It's just something you impose from outside. It just gives a relationship between the pressure and the density, or the pressure and the temperature. Just give a relationship between two of the quantities that lets you complete the equations. And so the simplest equations of state are adiabatic equations of state. Are those for which the entropy is not changing, as we discussed already. And so in that case, basically, we just say that the density is equal to the pressure is equal to a function of both the pressure and the entropy. This is turns out is adequate to assume. And so then what you know is that the change at any time that you're looking at the changes the density will be equal to the change of the density with respect to the pressure times the differential of the pressure plus the change of the density with respect to entropy and the differential of entropy. So if the entropy is not changing, as is the case here, then d rho over dp is equal to partial rho over partial p. And so in particular, if we have a situation like we have here, there's a background value plus a small perturbation, then the differential of rho is in fact equal to the perturbation in rho. And the differential of p is equal to perturbation. And so what we can do is take perturbation of rho is going to be equal to this partial derivative evaluated at constant entropy times perturbation p. what does that allow us to do? Well, we see that we have this perturbation in a row appearing in equation one. So equation one, we just plug this in. So we have or rewriting. Okay, so now we have an equation, two equations for P. So they close. We can bring these into a more familiar form if we observe that there's only one vector quantity here left, and that's the velocity. And we can always make use of, anytime we have a vector, we can always rewrite a vector as a gradient of some scalar field. So if we make that replacement, then what do we have? So this equation with this replacement becomes go ahead and flip this upside down. This is just square. We also know that we can also replace use that equation to so we'll rewrite this equation too. And that's basically. Okay, so where I've taken this gradient outside, and if the gradient of this is equal to zero, then this is equal to a constant. We can just take that constant equal to zero and just say that, now we can just say that P is equal to rho partial phi partial t. And then, almost done. Thank you. If we just plug this into here, Then we get partial of partial t, the rho 0 of rho 0 partial phi partial t is equal to rho 0 partial p partial rho times grad squared of phi. So since rho 0 again doesn't depend on anything, take it out. So you get the second time derivative of phi is equal to partial derivative times second spatial derivative of phi. That is the wave equation. And you remember the wave equation looks just like this, only what goes here is the speed of propagation of the wave squared. And so this is where we get CS, the sound speed, equal to the square root of the change of the pressure with respect to the velocity at constant entropy. So,
Do we have a negative there in the end?
No. Okay. If you keep track, this sign is gone. It's possible that I've lost this sign, but it should end up.
Okay.
If there's a minus sign, then it's no longer the wave equation, but in fact, decaying.
Yeah, the one we added down there.
Yeah, sorry, I suppressed a little bit of manipulation.
Okay.
See if I see if you're on your toes. Very, I'm glad you're paying attention. Yeah, supposed to end up like. The wave equation, because the solutions will in general of phi are going to look like e to the I kx. K dot x plus omega t. So it'll be some vector times x plus some scalar times t. So those are like traveling waves. Anyway, but to see this maybe a little bit more simply, you can just, if you take this equation and pull everything onto the left side, see that we basically have just the second partial derivative with respect to phi upstairs. And then downstairs, and let me just, for simplicity, I'm just going to go from a vector down to just a single spatial dimension. So the gradient becomes just partial with respect to x. Okay, just something simpler. Because then I can just rewrite this as cs squared grad t minus, I mean, abusing notation a little, x squared equals 0. Right. In some very, very unfair sense. But the reason why I'm writing it this way is because you realize that, you know, cs dt squared dt squared minus dx squared actually let me switch the sign there. It looks a lot like dx minus cs dt plus dx plus cs dt, right? And so if I change variables to x plus equal to x plus dt, and another variable x minus equals x minus dt, then the differential form of this is just exactly one of these, and the differential form of this one is the other one. All these C's should have S's on them. And so we see that really this wave equation just reduces down to equation that looks like this mixed partial, this mixed second partial differentiation. And we discovered the two characteristic equations for this system. One where there's the location plus CT, and the other one's the location minus CST. And so thinking about what that means geometrically, if we have x, I guess we have t and x, right? So we start equals 0 here, then there's going to be some angle here that's set by what CS is. And the two lines governing, one of these is x plus variable, and one's the x minus variable. What these are is the wave, this is the wave fronts traveling in the two opposite directions. If you start with a, so this is a one-dimensional thing, so it's like a, again, some kind of a tube. If you perturb a wave here, then there's one wave front that will be moving over this way. There's another wave front moving that way. Okay, does that make sense? And so this kind of analysis is really important because what we've discovered is that you can, these are the lines that are going to carry information about the fluid as time goes on. Is there anything else I had to say about that? Not really. Yes, that one. All right. So that's all I had for today, actually. This went faster than I expected.
Then a question for the homework. Mm-hmm. For number 3 says repeat the analysis for characteristic variables for sound propagation.
Yeah.
What do you mean by characteristic variables?
I just want you to find the equivalent equation here.
For down level, just the last board?
Yeah. So just basically, yeah. If whenever you go from here. I want you to start with this equation, and then rather than specializing to this, I want you to specialize to the radially. I guess I can also just talk about the general. I just want to say one more word about the general solutions of this equation. And also, I'll pick up anybody who has homework for today before you go. Yeah, so let me just go ahead and take the ansatz there, which is related to this. So if I just assume that phi equals phi 0 e to the I k dot x, we find out. So grad squared of this is equal to phi naught k squared. This is basically k squared times phi. Okay. The second time derivative is equal to minus omega squared phi, right? Then so we plug that into our equation. That means that omega squared phi equals cs squared k squared phi. So cs squared is equal to omega squared over k squared. So now we've re-derived well known formula that the so the the frequency divided by the wavelength. Is for the wavelength times the sound, the speed of propagation for a wave is equal to the wavelength times frequency. And this is just for wave number. It's an inverse unit. So k is an inverse length unit. Right? Does that make sense? That sounds like this. Any other questions do you have? Maybe we can look at the solutions really. The questions. I hope these problem sets aren't, this problem set isn't too terrible since a lot of you are still be working on last week. But it was just to give you a little bit of practice going through yourself some of the stuff we went through much for today. And next week, the first, we're going to go back to the pattern of people actually presenting their results and not me talking the entire time. Believe me, I don't want to talk to you the entire time. I know it's boring. Both are due next week. And with the assembly class, I should say that I think I said this just subset earlier that I don't know if we've ever explicitly given our homework policy on like consulting outside of class. You're free to help to talk to each other and get help, especially for things, well, just anytime. Just if you copy your homework, obviously unacceptable. So just get as much help as you need to get over your hump. Try to avoid like writing up the solutions completely, like sitting together and like writing the same thing over. It looks a lot like copying. So just make sure that you master it yourself, but feel free to ask each other or ask me. I'm happy to give you help too. Okay, great. So I guess we ran out of stuff to do. So we'll see you all next week.